Welcome to On the Drive. My name is Cindy Lawrence, your driver, your host for today's episode. And I'm incredibly excited to be with my longtime friend and coworker, workmate, Cindy Sarver. Hey. Say hello, Cindy.
Hey, guys.
So we worked many years at Mercedes-Benz of Greenway, Mercedes-Benz of Houston. We've done a couple podcasts together. We've done actually a lot through our lives together.
Shared some meals, spilled some beer, yeah.
One and only accident we've ever been in. We've done it together. So we do a lot of things together. Today we're going to talk about, so do you want to be a service advisor?
Right. And we covered just so you want to work in parts. Let's get your point of view on working as a service advisor. Like, how did you get started out in the industry?
So as I came out of the parts side of it, I got a job at an amazing place called Pro-Am, right?
Yes.
And at Pro-Am, we did a lot of parts. I got that job because I worked at BAP Geon, so they understood my ability to multitask, get them the right part, be energetic, help them when they came to pick up their parts. So that really easily transpired into an interview. Basically doing some parts, but it also then started taking me into the aftermarket industry, racing, wheels, Recaro yes. seats, and a little bit of service. Because like I said before, we worked on one car a year. Well, maybe two if you count the owner's sports car.
But you learned other skills, how to deal with people and manage money and invoicing.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? And once again, we instead of selling locally, as yes. I did with other parts houses, I was now doing international sales.
Ooh, nice.
With Recaro seats and things of that nature. So it was awesome. And then that easily parlayed into working at Firestone. I worked 3 years at Firestone. Loved, loved, loved Firestone.
Right.
They really taught you a lot. That was probably the best organization that I worked with that taught you everything from answering a phone. I couldn't fix a car, but they taught us primary and secondary ignition system, brake system, suspension systems. I can't fix anything, but to your point earlier, I had mechanical knowledge.
You know how it all fits together.
I know how it all fits together.
To make
right?
it work, yes. That's important.
So it was wonderful. We worked on every make and model. A lot of tire experience, a lot of tire knowledge. I'm a Bridgestone girl, by the way, still to this day. But then that kind of led into when I moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was able to get a job working at a leasing company. So they actually created the leasing industry, which that'd be another great topic to talk about
yes.
is how the leasing came about. So I got a lot of knowledge of like how to look up labor guides, technical service bulletins, recalls, warranty assistance, things of that nature, goodwill. And then I ended up at the dealership.
Wait. What is goodwill? What is that?
So goodwill is, as you can imagine, Wheels, Inc., we had 350,000 vehicles on the ground. We leased Ford, Chevy, and maybe a few other makes and models. We had 350 vehicles, Ford being our biggest customer, or we were their biggest customers, right? We supplied Ford, especially the Ford Taurus, Sables, things of that nature, to the industry. We did pharmaceutical companies. We did, if you had a company car, you probably got it through Wheels, Inc. But with that buying power, we had goodwill. So if we would go to a dealership and one of our vehicles were down at, let's say, River Oaks Chrysler, and we would pay for that repair because it's out of warranty, but then we would go to Chrysler, we would go to Ford and say, hey, can we get some assistance at this?
Oh, because you've been a loyal customer.
Because we've been a loyal customer. We buy a lot of vehicles. We service a lot of vehicles at your dealerships. We're a big customer.
Okay, so when we make
goodwill
sure I
understand is, goodwill is a little bit of help above and beyond. It's not warranty, because
no.
if it's warranty, the dealership's going to do
right.
the repair, get paid by the manufacturer, so it's business for us, right?
Right.
But if it's out of warranty, the manufacturer doesn't pay, the customer should pay.
Right. So I'm a loyal customer. I bring my car to you for services, all kinds of repairs, and then suddenly I have a problem out of warranty. There's a possibility that you will goodwill it just because I've been a loyal customer.
It's always on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
But that is what goodwill is for.
Okay.
The manufacturer, Ford, Mercedes-Benz, the manufacturer says, hey, Cindy, mm-hmm. let's say I'm working at ABC Motors. This is the warranty. However, our expectation is you have this budget
right.
that we want you to spend because it's spent ensuring that customers
right.
are taken care of, right? And sometimes a goodwill could be the fact that you just bought a good new car from us, Cindy. It's the third car you bought from us, and your son, who was 3 years old, decided to spill water on the shifter, right?
Yeah.
That's not warranty.
No.
But it's a brand new car. You're a loyal customer. It's a one-time thing, and we're just going to say, strap Jaden into his car seat and don't allow him to do it again, right? And now you feel very good about the brand and you feel very appreciated, right?
Yeah.
So there's always a lot of things that kind of come into to play. And as being a service advisor, that's the thing that we do. We establish relationships with our clients and we help make that determination or maybe that sales pitch
right.
to our manager that, no, this customer is a really good customer.
I'm super curious. What was your first day at a real car dealership like?
Well, that would have been a Ford dealership with two advisors that had been there forever, and nobody wanted to help me. It's just like learn by fire, right? And that's why I think I like doing the trading that I do now is because being an advisor that we got this job, we want this job, right? We're going in there to do a good job. We want to keep this job. And then sometimes, especially way back in the day, not so much now, but way back in the day, they saw us as a threat, so they didn't really help us.
I went through those issues, yeah.
Right.
So with your training, you hit the ground running. You already have the tools.
Yeah, so I train dealerships, and I come in, and sometimes a client will hire me so that I come in and take somebody that's never written service before.
Right.
But they have all the characteristics of what we want in an employee. We have somebody, when general manager went somewhere, and it was like the last couple days before this place closed, everybody there was losing their job. And there was this girl that was just so happy and just delightful. And he walks up to her and says, so how do you feel about the place closing? Well, do you have another job? No, I don't. He goes, come see me. And now it's been years later. He hired her personality.
Yeah.
He hired, we talk about traits to become a service advisor. That's a beautiful trait to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
That courage under fire, mm-hmm. right? These people, happy, sad, most of them, not because of you. So you need to engage with them as they might be frustrated at the car or situation, but not because of you. And she was a perfect example of that. And I've kind of persevered through that Ford experience, but that was a broken down dealership.
What was your happiest moment dealing with a dealership, working as a service advisor?
Well, gosh, there's so many happy moments. I mean, there's a lot of great clients. So if you want to be a service advisor, here's maybe not the typical thing. There's, of course, we can always talk about a bad customer, right? Blah, blah, blah. Did we make them mad? Did they come in mad? Whatever. But I'm telling you, there's so many more great experiences.
Yes.
And I definitely want to do some shows of the greatest customers around. But I'm going to tell you a great story.
Give us one that stands out. Yeah.
So I'm at Mercedes-Benz Greenway. My customer, Mrs. Marion, is dropping off her S-Class, and she's picking up her husband's E-Class, right? So she comes into my office. She's got a couple little kids. She's about 4'2". We're in Texas. So she comes in. Hey, Sandy, how you doing? Car ready to go? All right, great. Just go up there to the cashier and pay. All right, excellent. So you know what we're going to do with the S-Class? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. So she goes up to the cashier. She pays her bill. She goes over and goes to our little snack machine, you know, that snack machine
yeah.
we used to have with the fountains and the fruit and the
yes.
candy. So she comes walking back out a couple minutes later, and she's like, bye, Sandy, have a great weekend. I said, you too, Miss Marion. She goes out in the service drive. She's gone for about, I don't know, 3 minutes. She comes back in, cool as can be. Hey, Cindy, do you mind if I use your phone? I said, no, not at all, right? So you know the offices that we had?
Yes.
They're like a 10x10. It's mostly glass. There's a doorway, no door. And I've got a really nice L-shaped desk. So, and this is long before we all had cell phones, right? Which this story never would have happened if we had cell phones. So she comes to my office. I stand up. She goes over to my desk. She picks up the phone. She dials apparently her home number. And she's like, hey, honey, would you do me a favor? Would you go get your dad? Great, honey. And then she looks back at me and she goes, Cindy, what are you doing this weekend? You got any big plans? I mean, she's just calm. Like, how are you doing? She goes, oh, hang on a second. Hi, honey. They just stole your car.
What?
I said, said, what? She goes, it's okay. It's okay. That's where we have insurance. And then she puts her hand over the phone. She goes, and by the way, I hate that fucking car. That's why we have insurance. So anyway, we go to hang up the phone. We all go running out. By now, because she was standing outside when that car took off, and she talked to a valet. So now the valets have gone to the service manager. Everybody's like in
full alert, red.
Code red, right? So she gets on the service drive, and I'll never forget. It's like crazy, and all of a sudden she goes, now everybody just needs to calm down. It's just a car. I have insurance, and I hate that car. Well, just about this time, her car comes screaming back on the service drive.
So curious. Questions.
So here's
questions.
So let's start with the beginning of the story, right? So remember, Mrs. Marion comes in. She goes over to the desk, checks out, goes to get a soda. Another customer walked in.
Oh.
That other customer didn't see Mrs. Marion.
Yeah.
So she walked outside. She looked at the back of the car and goes, oh, it's an E320. And she jumps into this convertible E320, which were very few E320s back in the day. This was like in 2001, 2002. Uncommon model. So this woman jumps into this convertible, drives out of the dealership, and she makes a phone call. So here's what happened. This woman was at the country club earlier that day, saying to some friends, I'm in town. My son's over there at MD Anderson getting cancer. I don't have a car. And this other customer said, or this other lady at the country club goes, oh, honey, I got an extra E-Class at the dealership. Just run on over there, give them my last name, and drive it for as long as you want. So when this lady goes to the dealership, says the name, an E-Class pulls up. It would have been a different story if it had been a C-Class and an E-Class, right? But they're both E-Classes. So she's driving down the road. She calls her friend. She goes, oh, my God, thank you. I just picked up your car, and it's a convertible. And that lady goes, I don't have a convertible. So she swung back to the dealership. She's in a full panic because she knows she's taken off with another car. Mrs. Marion is nothing but disappointed that this motherfucking car has come back. And those two customers sat there and talked for 20 minutes. She's like, honey, don't worry about it. Tim, how's you? Because she jumped out of the
car.
How's your son? My son's in, I'm here. He's got cancer. He's at MD Anderson. I'm not thinking. She's like, honey, just it's okay. Tell me about your son. And there was just...
That's that Southern hospitality. Doesn't
Southern
that get
hospitality,
you every time?
Right? The whole way through, right? I've got an extra car. Take it.
Yes.
You stole my car. You didn't mean to. Let's talk about it. They hugged it out. Everything was wonderful. So there's so many
good stories.
So many great stories like that, right?
Yeah.
And just entertaining. It's just crazy. To be a good service advisor doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be able to help people find their stolen car. There's other a lot of things that go along with that. I think it's organization.
Yeah.
Once again, we talked about it's a huge communication piece. You need to listen to understand.
Yes.
To assist the client. Do not listen so that you can talk, right?
Don't assume.
You got to multitask. You've got a customer coming in. You got a customer leaving. You got a customer with an estimate. You got to check on your special order parts, which is sometimes a lot of the fun of the day, right? We've got a lot of plates that are all spinning around.
Yes.
No day is like any other day.
Why did you talk about plate skinning? Because we were talking about Sticky the Clown, because he would do that.
No. So plates is like each individual customer, right?
Yeah, there's
it's
stuff
like
going
you're
on.
Multitasking.
And in the meantime, you have your own life going on.
My life? My relatively low-key?
Go to work, go home.
All right, we're going to leave that there because there's probably a little bit more to that story. So being a service advisor, yes, there's...
But after your tenure at all the dealerships, what happened? You work for
I worked many years as a service advisor, service manager, and then I got to do what I really loved, which is a trainer.
And that's what you're good at. You are really good at it.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it. I probably enjoy it so much because of what we talked about when you walk in as the first day, right?
Yes.
Everybody wants to do the right thing. Most of the time, and I will share this with the audience out there that has a set of keys that drives into a dealership, we want to do the right thing. And sometimes what we say or do is not because we're trying to do something wrong, just we haven't run across that situation, right? So here's a classic example. We talked a little bit about Goodwill, right?
Yes.
I didn't know what Goodwill was.
I know, I didn't either.
So one of my managers, Ken, comes over and says, write up this car. It's out of warranty. Take care of everything. Put her in a car. I said, great. It had body shop work. It had trim work.
Wow.
It had, I mean, this thing was a huge, huge claim. But he told me to do it, right? He looked me directly in the eye in my office. Take care of everything under warranty that she says, don't ask questions. Perfect. We sent the claim through. And of course, I didn't do the proper paperwork for warranty goodwill submission, and it got kicked back. And because warranty goodwill is not designed to fix a service advisor's error, basically of submitting a
right.
claim under warranty, we've got to say, hey, manufacturer, this is not warranty, but we've made the decision to help the client.
Yes.
We are submitting this for your assistance, knowing we're kind of breaking the rules. But if you don't do that step, Ken comes in my office and he's just freaking livid because this huge claim got kicked back. And he goes running to my office. You told me to do it. He goes, yes, but you got to fill out the form. I said, there's a form? There's a process?
Oh, my God. That's if you would have had good training.
If I would have had good training, I would have known, right? And so some of the training, like I do a boot camp for advisors, and we don't go deep into all of this stuff, but we talk about labor types, operation codes, warranty goodwill, warranty extension, recalls,
right.
campaigns, technical service. I mean, there's so much. And what's crazy is people that once were in the business for so long, we're like, it's not that hard. And then we start talking about all the steps.
Yeah.
All the ones every now and then, but there are a lot of now agains,
yeah.
right? Like
yeah.
warranty goodwill and recalls. And they're like, wow, it's a lot of stuff. Right?
Yeah.
So some of my training, I like to say it is learning without the landmines.
Right.
Right? Most of the time, back in the day, not so much now. And if you are now and don't want to be now, call me. I'd be more than happy to help train the team. We need to learn without the landmines, right? Because when that landmine
right.
blows up, we're normally blowing up with the customer.
But
right?
even if you've been a service advisor for 5 or 6 years,
uh-huh.
you still would benefit from good training.
Oh, absolutely. You pick up one nugget each time, right? You talk about
yeah.
maybe a different way to present something, the different way to look at something. It's always good. It's like continuing education for any time.
For me, if anyone offers me any tidbit of knowledge on anything, I want to know. Even if I've already known, maybe there's another twist now.
And even with you, right? I'm in service. Cindy's in parts. She was talking earlier about there's this widget that may be needed for repair. This widget is normally sold as one unit.
That has three separate parts.
But it has three separate parts.
And it's on back order.
And it's on back order, so she knows how to wiggle through that. So now as a service advisor, I listen to her. I'm not in parts. I don't bill out stuff. But now as a service advisor, I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
I break it down and you need to purchase
maybe,
what part is defective to get the car out.
So as a service advisor, I could ask my parts associate that works the back counter,
right.
is there another way we could buy this part?
Yeah.
Right? Is it new or is it remanufactured?
Right.
Maybe it's zero in stock because it's been superseded to something as a whole unit.
But you as a service advisor should ask and your counterman should listen
Absolutely.
And look and not just say, no, that's the part, that's it, no. And have you run into that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to listen.
You
we
definitely,
have to
you know, both sides. Everybody needs to listen to everybody else and understand there could be a unique situation. But I will share with you, if you're looking to be a service advisor, it is a great career. It is a career that changes every day. It's not only the cars from the cars that we had 20 years ago to now to EVs
yes.
to we're going to get to flying cars, right? Customers are amazing. There are more amazing customers. And if you have an amazing customer story,
we
hit me
hear.
Up. We want to hit talk about it. If you're a customer behind a set of keys and have had an amazing experience,
you want to highlight someone.
Right? If that's your advisor, is your advisor, and that's your guy, your gal, and that's who you tell all your friends about, we'd love to hear about it. Love to talk about it on that show. There are more happy, great moments.
Yes. And you've met people that are your friends even now. You've maintained friendships with a lot of your clients.
Yeah, I've had some, absolutely, right? Some more than others.
So I've gone to baseball games with clients. I've gone out to eat with clients. And I know their kids' ages, where they go to school.
Working at Mercedes-Benz at Greenway, I got all kinds of spiffs. I was going to the Rockets games, the Houston Comets game.
No, I went with my clients. I mean, it was not.
Those were my clients. I mean, the Houston Rockets, Cynthia Cooper.
Oh, WNBA.
WNBA would come in and go, get my car and here's two seats. I'll see you on the court, right? Yeah. I would go to football games, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to join in a service advisor, I encourage you, hit us up. We'll talk a little bit more about maybe what you'd like to do, what brand you'd like to work with. But it's absolutely a rewarding experience. Go from one place to another, from one dealership, one city, one state.
Yeah. Florida.
And then you can join us on the drive. So until then, we'll see you on the drive. Thank you for listening to On the Drive. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. It'd be absolutely awesome if you left us a 5-star review. I'm Cindy Lawrence, at your service. I'll see you on the drive.